various resolutions that we've collected from around the district of different folks and people. And oh God, they got the squeak toy out.
Is that something that anybody can access, or how do people get to that?
It'll be available online, it's available on both of our closed group and our open group pages. So the iReb page has it. You can click to it. It's a Google Doc, and then we also have it to download. So there's an Excel spreadsheet that you can download and have the whole thing. But it's got instructions on the first page, the resolutions on the second page, the actual resolution form on the third page. And then we've kind of broken out some of them, like action agenda and ongoing platform items, on the subsequent pages, so you have a better idea of what's going on.
Okay, all right. So I'm just looking. I go to the. I'm just trying to call it up myself.
Oh, are you on the iReb page?
Well, I'm
the closed group.
I'm not sure here. So
okay, well, just search for IREB in Facebook.
Right, I've done that.
And then it'd take us to the front page of our group if you found it. And then right there, Marcus Faisel, F-A-S-E-L, has got a link pinned right to the top there. Right below it, there's the Excel spreadsheet. Did you find it?
Huh. No, I there it is. Recent group files, resolutions 3 XLS. Okay.
Yep. That's the downloadable one. It's current as of just about 15 minutes ago. So we've collected. See, the DFL doesn't do this because they don't want to appear to be supporting any of these resolutions, so they don't aggregate them in any way. And so we were able to do that because of our nonpartisan status.
Okay. Do you want to talk about any specific ones here?
I can kind of generally talk about some. I actually haven't been real focused on the specific ones. What we're going to be supporting, a single payer, college tuition things, all the Bernie stuff. There's some discussion around what makes a good resolution I could go into. And then,
sorry, I got to cut you guys off right now. We're about to go live.
Okay. We'll talk in a bit.
Trek right, Minnesota made beer, wine, and spirits. Their grand opening is all day Saturday with the ribbon cutting at noon with Mayor Jacob Fry. They'll have drink samples all day along with food trucks. Ombibulous is located at 949 East Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. More at ombibulousmn.com.
It is Caucus Day. You are going to the caucus tonight, aren't you? This is your chance to really have an impact on Minnesota politics. Caucuses start tonight at 7 o'clock, Republican and Democratic caucuses all across the state of Minnesota. Show up, be counted, and if you're going to the DFL caucus, a reminder that you want to do more than just cast your vote in the straw ballot. I mean, you can do that in both the GOP and Republican, but in the DFL and Republicans, I should add, you get a chance to be a delegate. And that's how you really can have an impact on who is going to be picked to be the next governor or your next congressman or congresswoman or your next state legislator. That's where the rubber meets the road. And so be sure to put your hand up tonight and talk about and say, I'd like to be a delegate. You say, well, Mike, I have no idea how that works. Well, we've got somebody here that will help us today. We have Vicki Wright, who is with the DFL. She has been and many caucuses and is very experienced about how this whole thing works. And I bet you by the end of the show, we'll have you acting like an insider so you can participate fully in the caucuses tonight. Donald Trump today. Donald Trump had a little thing to say.
If we don't change it, let's have a shutdown. We'll do a shutdown, and it's worth it for our country. I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this stuff taken care of.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about government shutdown, which he was so, he said was all the Democrats' fault last time. All it was Democrats refusing to throw a life preserver to the Republicans who've gotten themselves into this mess. But he's saying, let's do that again. I guess that was a good thing last time. Everybody enjoyed it so much. The reason he's saying that is he is now amping up the whole rhetoric around this, saying that, there's gangs and gangs are coming over and killing people from Mexico and all these immigrants. That's what they do. They rape, they murder, they pillage, and we need to do something about it. In fact, they had an expert from
from the Justice Department up to answer questions from the media today about this, and the media want to know, hey, how many gang members are doing this? How many of all the immigrants that we have are gang members? And they didn't have any statistics. Strangely enough, they didn't. Yes, there's a problem, but you can see what's going on here. This is the Trump administration using a broad brush to paint things. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on the show, too. I want to know what you think about that. And I also want to know what you think about tonight's caucuses. The number is 952-946-6205. We'll be taking your phone calls today to talk about, is there a particular candidate that you're supporting? Or is there a particular resolution, a cause that you want to champion tonight at the caucuses? We'll be hearing from some of the messages that we've had left for us here. But you can call in live to the show today at 952-946-6205. And if you don't have any ideas on what you'd like to support, maybe you'll get some ideas from our next guest. Mark Fresconi is with the Indivisible Resistance of Egan and Burnsville. His group has been putting together a database of resolutions that could be offered tonight, and he joins us now to talk about that and other things at the caucuses. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. Hi. How are you?
I am doing fine here. Your folks here, I just pulled this up, have pulled together 107 possible resolutions that people can offer tonight. People often
170.
Excuse me. Yep. I transposed a digit there. 170, yeah. Nearly 200. Hey, let's round up. Nearly 200 resolutions that people can offer. Obviously, you wouldn't offer all 200 of them, but it's a great starting place for people to get some ideas. Where did all these things come from?
Well, Mike, you know, what we did is when we started looking at, building up our activism and as we started seeing caucuses coming out, we looked at, what the process is, and we wanted to break it down in a way to make it understandable for folks that maybe never had participated. And one of the most important things that happens at caucuses is the resolutions that are put forward. Now, I went to my first caucus just 2 years ago, and I was able to see how the process went forward. And I watched the resolution go from our caucus group and eventually become a part of the state party's platform. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to open up that part of it to people so that they could have a say-so, because so much of what's going on around us is, you know, people weren't happy with the results that we got, and they weren't sure about, you know, where the Democratic Party's loyalties were. Well, this is the place where you can start having a say-so in what the party does and says going forward. And so we provided some training. We had caucus training a few weeks back. Marcus Faisal is one of our leadership team. Put it together and just did a bang up job. We actually had some resources from the DFL that helped us, people that have been working on writing resolutions for a number of years. Mike Satina and Deb Kelly helped us with that. And so we spent some time and we built what we think was a really good 15-minute tutorial on how to write a resolution. We posted that online. And then after that, people started showing up with resolutions, and we started finding them. And so we realized that we needed a collection point so that people could put them together. Now, one of the things about a resolution is if you've got like the world's best resolution, but you're the only one that's submitting it at caucus, it's probably not going to get advanced. Like anything else, it's going to need support to be advanced. And so what this database does that we've put together gives people a chance to read through and pick out a couple of the very best ones and bring them in tonight. And it's like voting for what you want the party to do.
So this is
an answer.
Okay. Well, yeah, but this is pretty much a find it, like it, and then you can essentially just, you know, copy and paste it out. You have to have these on a form, don't you, when you bring them in, but you can copy and paste these onto that form and bring them in with you.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, the party has a specific form and they'll have, you know, I'm actually convening my precinct tonight and we'll have copies of that form at the precinct so that you can fill it out there. But we have it attached also to this resolution form. And if you go to our public page, it's IREB on Facebook, you'll find it pinned to the very top. There's an online version and then there's a downloadable version. And in that Excel document, your first page is going to give you some, you know, easy to follow instructions on how to use. And then the second page are the listing of all 171 resolutions that we've accumulated. And then the third page is the actual form itself. So you can just fill the form out yourself or copy and paste what you like into there. And then on the subsequent pages, we have an action agenda items and ongoing platform items. And if you want to read through that, you'll see how we've kind of broken those things out too. But it really is just a real quick way to, I mean, you should do this right now. If you're not bringing a resolution to caucus tonight, you should grab one because, you know, we really need a, you know, let the party know what we're thinking about things. And this is the place where we start doing that.
And it's a good thing to have the ongoing platform there because people say, hey, I have this great idea. And if you look at it, you might find it already in the platform. So it's kind of, I won't say it's a waste of time, but you can spend your time better by focusing on the things that maybe aren't there yet. What are people talking about? What are people interested in bringing forward here? I know there's 170 of these, so you can't just go through all of them, but are there general categories, anything that's sticking out that people are talking about a lot?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, and that's actually what the, you know, the people that in the party, once they receive these, what they'll try to do is, you know, combine them into, you know, larger general ideas. And so looking through this, you can see quite a number of them that refer to healthcare issues. And, you know, single payer has been part of the DFL platform for the last 2 years that I know of. And so, you know, spending time talking about maybe how we make it work. You know, so there's a lot of interest in that. You know, the next thing there was quite a bit of, actually I was surprised on the number of, legalization for cannabis. You know, and then student loan, dealing with that. There's a lot of different ideas about how to deal with student loan debt. I know when Bernie came here, you know, we talked about, you know, eliminating it. Now, you know, folks are coming up with some other ideas about, you know, maybe 2 years free, that kind of thing. And we've got some resolutions in here that discuss that as well. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of the larger topics that we're already pretty familiar with. You know, that's what we're seeing, you know, grouped in the, you know, the things that we're all standing up for now anyway, you know, the items of social justice, you know, demilitarizing our police department, things like that. All the things that, you know, that that the majority of progressives who make up about 60 to 70% of the state stand up for.
Yeah, I'm still paging through this. As I said, it's a long list, 170 some things. I'm not seeing, at least in the first 40 or 50 I've looked at here, I'm not seeing anything that I haven't heard of before. So this should not be unfamiliar territory to people who listen to this show or to this station about issues. And it's just a nice way of having it all phrased for you, you know, before you go in there so you have something ready to offer if you're thinking about this. Mark, you say you're convening your caucus tonight. What does that mean for somebody who's never been to these caucuses? What does a convener do, and how did you get that job?
Well, I'm actually last year I became an officer with the DFL early on in my political career. You know, when I turned out for Bernie Sanders and I got involved. I showed up at my last the caucus in 2016, and then before the convention, I actually interviewed and became a director at large for the Senate district. And so, this is one of those types of things that as a, you know, when you start working inside the party is one of those things that you get an opportunity to volunteer for. Now, the caucus convener really doesn't have a position inside the party other than the role that I will play tonight. So what I will do is I'll, you know, bring the meeting to order, conduct the business of the meeting. And then once the meeting is over, any authority that I have is now gone. But the important parts of the meeting, and this is really what people need to understand, that there really, it seems like there's a lot of things going on, but what's really important that's going to happen tonight is one, there's going to be a straw poll for preference on the governor. And then the most important parts of the caucus are going to be where the precinct chairman is or the precinct captain is elected, and the vice chair and the second vice chair. And those are positions that remain within the party and vote within the party for the next 2 years, or the one voting position in the absence the other folks fill in. And then the most important part tonight, I think, is going to be the delegate selection. So based on the number of people that showed up at the last convention, they tell you how many delegates that you will have. These are people that can go to the convention and vote for a particular candidate or vote, you know, endorse a particular candidate or vote for particular resolutions. So, and then, of course, the adoption of the resolution. So you're basically, you're electing your precinct chair and you're getting your delegates, and then you're approving resolutions. And that's pretty much all that's going to happen tonight. It's pretty straightforward. So people shouldn't be too mystified by it. I know we've been working real hard to try to break in that process open so that it seems more, more open to people who want to join and become part of the process.
Now, we've heard both the chair of the DFL and the chair of the Republican Party this week talk about the precinct caucuses. Ken Martin has been quoted as saying, in fact, I listened to him say, you're not going to get as many people showing up this year as you did in 2016, a presidential year. I assume you concur with that, but how big of a turnout are you expecting where you're going to be?
Well, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed for tonight. And I think, tonight will be the numbers that we see will tell a story about how the resistance is doing in Minnesota. And I'm hoping that we exceed the numbers at the party. And I've heard that, some of the talk that we're, because I've been part of some of the organizing for our Senate district as well, and the numbers that they say being an off year and so on and so forth. And if we can beat those numbers, then I think the resistance has done its job, and I think we're healthy, and I think that blue wave is still going to come. But if we see anemic numbers, we don't see people turning out and not showing up, then we might be in trouble still, and we might be looking at having to fight on to 2020 to start turning this country around.
Yeah, so from a psychological standpoint, this is important, but also just from the standpoint of delegates, because I've been to conventions, I've been to these caucuses, and there hasn't been enough people who raise their hand who even want to be delegates to go on to the next thing. So an area that might have a lot of people who vote in it doesn't get as much representation at the next level, at the Senate district or at the state level, because there are just not enough people who want to be delegates. So that's another good reason to, A, show up, and B, raise your hand, because otherwise there isn't representation. It doesn't take a lot. I mean, when you become a delegate, it doesn't take a lot of your time. You're talking about an afternoon to go to a convention, aren't you?
Yeah, it is. It's a very small time commitment at all. But I think the thing is what's really important about it is that in a normal year, yeah, maybe you've got better things to do. This year, none of us have better things to do. This year, we all have to get involved, and you're leaving your power on the table if you don't show up for these types of things. There's a handful of people that work within the organization who count on being able to have amplified power, because no one shows up. And if we don't show up and we don't take our power and if we don't have a place at the table, we're probably on the menu. That's the saying. And so it's time to stand up and take your place at the table. The party is the people who show up. And if we all show up and we all intend the best things for it, I think good things will happen.
I think that's an important point, because if you do not like the way your party is going, whether you're in the DFL or whether you're Republicans, this is your chance to change it. If you don't show up, though, it's inertia. It's going to keep going the way it always has been. And if you don't like the way things have been going, this is your chance. You got to show up. But notice how many times I said show up in the last couple of sentences. That's what it's all about. So, Mark, I appreciate it. Any last thoughts here for people who, as a way of getting them to show up tonight, you want to tell them?
Well, if you've been at all incensed over the last year, if 2016, there was something that you felt that was left undone or you were unsatisfied with, this is the time to step out, take a few hours off or whatever else you had going this evening and show up, just like you said.
All right, Mark, thank you so much. You can find more of Mark's group, IREB, if you just go to Facebook and just type in IREB and it will show up right away. We're still taking your phone calls here, 952-946-6205. If you are supporting a candidate or cause that you want to let people know about before they head out the door tonight after dinner to go to the caucuses, we've taken a few here while we've been talking to Mark. And Marty from Elk River said he wanted to voice his support for Rebecca Otto because she is the best candidate on the environment. Rebecca Otto, then, of course, running for governor. We're gonna talk more about those shout-outs. I got some to play back for you, as well as some of the politics of the day. And, yes, another indication that Tim Pawlenty is thinking about running for governor rather seriously over on the Republican side. We'll get to that and more coming up here next on the Mike McEntee Show. You're listening to AM 950 Radio.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in, bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
I'm Jeff Erdman, and I'm running for the DFL endorsement for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District to unseat Jason Lewis and provide people a real, working-class voice in Washington. I grew up in a union home in Lewiston, Minnesota. My dad worked in a flour mill, and my mom provided daycare. My wife Ruth and I have raised 3 kids in Dakota County. I've been an American government teacher and head football coach for 28 years, with the last 18 years being at Rosemont High School. Ruth works as a speech therapist in schools. We've dedicated our lives to local families, and now I'm running to serve them. Here's what I believe. Healthcare is a human right. I'm the only candidate pushing for a single-payer Medicare-for-all system. I'm also the only candidate who opposes drilling, and I have aggressive plans for localizing green jobs and creating wealth in our local economies. It's time for real political reform to take money out of politics. Learn more and see how to caucus February 6th at erdmanforcongress.com. I'm Jeff Erdman, and it's time for change.
Paid for by Urban for Congress.
Imagine a world where no one ever went hungry. Where you didn't have to choose between clean air and clean water. And where bitter, drunken comedians didn't have to work in small, dark clubs to tell you how severely screwed up everything is. If that kind of world scares you the way it scares us, then we can help. We're StandUpRecords.com. We offer the finest in CDs, DVDs, and merchandise from the best stand-up comedians on earth. So please give generously. And remember, together we can't save the world. Yeah, no, we can't. So you may as well just buy something funny. That's StandUpRecords.com.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950. We're talking caucuses. We're talking about what you should be doing tonight. 7 o'clock, caucuses. In your area, you can look up where you can go tonight, either on the DFL site, the Republican site, over at the Secretary of State site. There are caucuses for every place in Minnesota. Your chance to go out and meet your neighbors at stake. Who is going to be the endorsee of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party? Who is going to be the endorsee for Senate? We have 2 U.S. Senate seats. And then we also have your local legislative seats. The House seats are up this time around. That and all sorts of resolutions and causes and all that kind of stuff. So if you have a thought on any of those, on who you're supporting and why you're supporting that particular candidate or that cause, I'd like to hear about it here. And I'd like the rest of the world to hear about it, or at least the rest of Minnesota to hear about it before you head off to the caucus tonight at 7 o'clock. The number here is 952-946-6205. Nora from St. Paul wanted to get in and talk about this. Hi, Nora. How you doing?
I was born in St. Paul, but I live over here in Minneapolis by the Minnehaha Falls. So,
all right.
Anyway, I'm saying Tina Liebling for governor, and I'll tell you why.
Go ahead.
I got to meet her last summer at the Minneapolis convention, and I got to find out that she knows very well all the great stances on issues such as the phony war on drugs and complete legalization of cannabis. And her husband's a doctor at Rochester, and she knows how important we need to have single-payer health care. Every issue I can imagine, she's right on. And also, when Al Franken was being ostracized in the Senate by that gang of women senators, there were 2 females that are running for governor here that said, Al Franken needs to get out. And luckily, Tina Liebling was not one of them. And I am so happy and relieved, because I don't think you ostracize a person out like that without any hearing at all. I think it was so wrong what those women did. And Tina Liebling, apart from the other 2 candidates that are females, and I do believe it's time for our first female governor. How long do we have to wait? Till the end of our life or what? No, just kidding. But anyway,
I hope not.
last time when 2016, I noticed that the resolution for legalizing cannabis was number one on the list of us to vote for. It. When you go to the district convention, you got a whole list of to vote yes or no, and I believe it was the first one on the list. But Tina Liebling for governor, she is so right for our first woman for governor.
All right. Well, Nora, you certainly have some enthusiasm there. Well, that's all you needed to say. I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you participating in the political process because that's what makes it work, people participating. Thank you very much. 952-946-6205. If you've got a candidate or a cause you want to give a shout-out before you head off to the caucuses tonight, we had, again, we've had the line open all day for people to call in. We had Jeff Clark from St. Paul call in. He has some thoughts on a couple resolutions, two of them that he's offering tonight. The first one is from Move to Amend.
We need a complete resolution to get money out of politics, and the only complete solution I know Move to Amend has. It's not just ending Citizens United and controlling campaign finance, but it's also getting rid of automatic corporate rights under the Constitution for corporations. They should have privileges written into law, but not rights like human beings. That is one resolution. The other one is forwarded from the Roseville Area Advocates for Minnesota. They are promoting a resolution to support John Marty's Minnesota health plan, which is excellent. That is, both of these issues are nonpartisan, and that should be supported and gotten into the platform of your party, whether it's DFL, Republican, Independent, or Green Party, Libertarian, whatever it is. These are transpartisan issues, at least among those who vote and support the representatives they try to elect to our legislature. If you want the text of both of these, I can make it very simple. Go to the Facebook page of St. Paul Area Move to Amend, and the top listing should be for the Move to Amend resolution I mentioned about money in politics, and probably right below it is a reposting I put in, Jeff Clark, for the Roseville Area Advocates on the Minnesota Health Plan. Very easy. Copy and take the text with you and fill out the resolution form when you get to caucus tonight. Good luck to everybody, and I hope you'll be with us.
And I think that's a thought we all share. We hope that everybody gets out there tonight and is active, because that's how we make things happen. A couple other political notes here. First, a shout out, I guess, from Governor Mark Dayton. A little bit unusual, because I don't think the governor usually hands out endorsements, particularly before the caucuses. But today, according to Angie Craig's campaign, Governor Mark Dayton endorsed Angie Craig in the Minnesota 2nd Congressional District. She is running against Jeff Erdman there. They are both hoping to run against and defeat Republican Representative Jason Lewis in the 2nd Congressional District. And then also a voice, a blast from the past, Tim Pawlenty, today quit his job. He works for the Financial Services Roundtable. He's the CEO. He's been doing that for almost 6 years. And so that's essentially since he left as governor. And he's going to be leaving his job as in March. He probably gets paid a good amount of money for doing that. That's lobbying work in D.C. for the financial institutions. And so the speculation is rampant that he's coming back to Minnesota here to run for governor. Well, Joe Davis, Executive Director for Alliance for Better Minnesota, puts out a press release with that, saying, with speculation that Tim Pawlenty is going to run for governor, Minnesotans deserve to know what severance package or ongoing financial interest he has in the big banking industry. He says, quote, after nearly a half a decade lobbying on their behalf, big banks will undoubtedly want to send their top lobbyists off with a bang and assurances that he'll continue to keep their interests in mind. Former Governor Tim Pawlenty may be coming back here to be a player in the Minnesota scene. We'll have to see what happens on that. Now, if you want to be a player in tonight's caucuses, you got to know how it works. It's, you know, first thing is show up, and it's not that complicated. But I know you're probably a little bit concerned. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to get some tips from a veteran caucus goer, somebody who knows the system really well, Vicki Wright from the DFL. She's up next year on the Mike McEntee Show.
I was talking to Chuck in his Genghis Khan suit.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
I'm Adam Jennings, and I approve this message. The race for Congress in the 3rd District will be one of the top races in the nation. I entered this race because I believe we need a progressive voice that is not afraid of the Republican attack machine. I believe in Medicare for all, and I'm not afraid to say so. I believe in the common sense gun legislation proposed by Gabby Giffords, and I'm not afraid to say so. I believe in supporting our public schools, protecting Social Security, funding Planned Parenthood, and standing with the Dreamers on their quest to become American citizens, and I'm not afraid to say so. I'm a husband, father, veteran, former AFSCME and UAW worker. From owning a small business that provides housing to homeless vets to running a multi-billion dollar investment portfolio for a major insurance company, I have the life experiences that I'll bring to Congress to represent your interests. So if you want a Democrat that'll proudly stand up for the issues you care about, join me February 6th and take back your party. Thank you.
Paid for by Adam Jennings for Congress.
Hi, it's Tom Hartman, and this Valentine's Day, I want you to stop at Continental Diamond in St. Louis Park. Jimmy and Helene Pessis have created a family atmosphere where generations of Twin City customers have made it their jewelry store. At Continental Diamond, you can shop without pressure because no one works on commission. In addition to the outstanding selection of jewelry and watches, on Valentine's Day only, they'll be hosting R.J. Kramer Flowers and L'Amour Chocolates for those last-minute shoppers. Continental Diamond, adjacent to the West End in St. Louis Park, and at ContinentalDiamond.com.
Hello, this is Ellen Krug from Hidden Edges Radio. When I'm not on the radio, I'm standing in front of audiences training about diversity and inclusion and on how to be welcoming to others who are different from us. More than ever, employers and organizations need professional diversity and inclusion training. I can offer that training through my company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I'd love to make your workplace or organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
Hi, it is Caucus Day or Caucus Night here in Minnesota, and you are strongly encouraged and invited to show your caucus, wherever it may be. If you don't know where it is or you don't even know how it works, have we got the person that you should be talking to with us right now. Vicki Wright is the Training and Party Affairs Director for the DFL, and she joins us right now to talk about the caucuses tonight. Vicki, welcome to the program.
Nice talking with you, Mike. Thanks for inviting me.
Good to have you on here. It's been ages since we've talked.
I know.
And, and you are a very, very busy person today, so I'm appreciative that you're taking your time here because it is a big night for the DFL and the Republican Party as everybody is trying to get people in the door to get involved in their party caucuses, not just to vote but to maybe be part of the party and do things. And one of the big concerns I know that people have, this the first time I went to a caucus, I said, oh gosh, that's going to take a lot of time. That's going to be a lot of work. Wouldn't I just rather go someplace and vote and be done with it? And that's not the way it works here in Minnesota. Tell us how it does work.
Well, one of the things I want to say is that people should understand that one of the beauties of politics in Minnesota, it doesn't matter what party you belong to, is that we have grassroots organizing every 2 years. We start at the very, very deep, deep grassroots in every precinct. There's over 4,000 precincts in Minnesota, and every one of these precincts gets together with and has a meeting with their neighbors and talk about the issues, get to know each other, and really talk about how they can organize and do better to support their candidates. There's a lot of work that gets done, and we are really excited because we think that this is one of the things that makes Minnesota really special, and I think it's one of the reasons that we have have the highest voter turnout consistently, election after election nationwide, because people do believe that they have a say in their political life. And it's really true. I mean, here we talk about all of our elected officials by their first name. We talk about Amy and we talk about Tina and Mark and all of these people because we feel that close to them. And I think that caucuses have a lot to do with that. And of course, I think we do caucuses better here than any other state. And so when people badmouth or boohoo about caucuses, I don't think they really understand what we do here in Minnesota. So that's that's my pitch.
Okay.
But basically, essentially, what we're trying to do is within an hour's time, really. Registration opens at 6:30. The caucus is supposed to convene at 7. It needs to last until 8 o'clock just to get through the basics of the business, and there are certain statutory time frames that we have to adhere to. But most caucuses don't last much more than 2 hours. Usually 7 to 9 is pretty common. If you live in a precinct where there's a very high turnout, it can last longer than that because then you'll have more people to elect and work through and so on, and perhaps more resolutions to consider. But it really doesn't take very long. So that's to one of your concerns that you mentioned. Wanted to make that real clear.
Now, I know that the big focus at the caucus is the gubernatorial race because we've got six candidates running on the DFL side. We may have on the Republican side, we just talked about Tim Pawlenty maybe running, but he's not going to be on the ballot over there. So there's a lot of interest right there, and that's what's probably going to draw people into this. What happens with the gubernatorial race in terms of caucus goers if they want to have an influence on that process?
Well, we do run a preference ballot, and this year it's a little different than it was in 2016. This year it's a straw poll, or sometimes they call it a beauty contest, and I think that's kind of unfair because what it really does is a very important thing for the campaigns. They're able to then look at the results that will come in tonight from all these 4,000-plus precincts all over. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Been talking on the phone a lot the last couple of days.
You're forgiven.
Asking a lot of questions. But they're going to look at those results, and they're going to be able to plan their campaign in every precinct. They'll be able to see how strong they are or where they need to apply a little more effort, and they can plan their campaign that goes through from now until the state convention in June.
Now, that's the preference.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so that's the preference ballot. People get to,
yes.
You can't write anybody in. You get to choose one of six names and check them off and turn that in.
Well, actually, that's you can write somebody in, or you can choose uncommitted. That's
okay.
A perfectly valid choice on our ballot as well. And you could write somebody in. We did leave a blank in case somebody would enter the race late and people wanted to show their support for that individual. They could have done that as well.
Okay,
so that's
one input you have on the gubernatorial race, but I remember going to caucuses when Barack Obama was first running, and a lot of people wanted to vote for Barack Obama, and that was a binding thing, but people showed
correct.
Up, voted,
correct.
And then they left, and that was all they did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to this, and actually, if you leave...
Exactly.
If you leave, you don't have it really that much. You have not as much influence on who is going to be the gubernatorial endorsee for the DFL party.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that all the campaigns are doing is trying to put their supporters into these caucuses and encourage them to run for delegate. The delegates that will be elected at caucuses tonight will go to their local organizing unit conventions. And at those conventions, they do some business that involves getting ready for the new cycle where they're electing officers and so on. But one of the big things they do at that convention is they elect state delegates and alternates. And those state delegates and alternates will then go on in June to Rochester, and they will be part of the endorsement process for all of our statewide candidates. And that's quite a long list. It's a three-day convention because of it. So people who are running for delegate tonight and are elected could very likely then also be running for delegates to go to the state convention. And intermediate Lee, or is that a word? they would also go to their congressional district convention and be endorsing their congressional candidate for the U.S. House.
Now, I know people hear this and say, oh, I have to run for something. I haven't done that since high school, and maybe I didn't even do that. This, you really don't on this level, you're not really running a campaign for delegate. It's a lot of it's just holding up your hand, isn't it?
Well, it depends on where you live. If you're in a district, in a rural district, for instance, it's very likely that you have more delegate slots than you have people who attend. In fact, that happens in the suburban areas, too, sometimes. And so frequently in a precinct, when they make a call for who wants to run for delegate, the people who raise their hand get to be delegates. If you live, however, in Minneapolis or St. Paul or some of the more densely populated areas, it actually becomes an election, and it's typically run with sub-caucusing, which is a whole other thing. But if that were to happen at your precinct caucus, it would be explained to you how that works. And in general, in that case, you're declaring preference for a gubernatorial candidate, usually, and that's how the sub-caucuses are defined. I won't go into all the details on that right now, but it's kind of a fun process where people gather into little groups and are able to elect their delegates that way.
So it sounds like if you're somebody who's in the inner city or Minneapolis, St. Paul proper, that you may want to bring along a couple of friends supporting you so that you can become a delegate if that's what you want to do. Is that a acceptable strategy here?
I think it's a really good strategy, and plus that will increase the number of people who are there, which is always a good thing. We want a really big turnout. It makes a huge difference in our ability to really remake and re-energize the party this year.
Now, do you remember your first caucus that you went to? Do you remember being concerned, or what questions you had, or were you worried when you went?
It's indelibly etched in my memory. You're right. It was in Minneapolis back in, it's so long ago, I hate to even admit it.
But we don't have to say what.
It was in Minneapolis. I'd moved here from Detroit, Michigan, and caucuses were completely unknown to me. And at that time, we did do sub-caucusing for presidential candidates, and I didn't understand exactly what was happening, but we did sub-caucus, and we picked our candidate. We weren't elected delegates, but we kind of watched the whole process. And the thing that I noticed right off the bat, and this is something that I think people should understand about Democrats, and actually I found out it's kind of true of the Republicans as well, is that because we are engaged and involved in this all the time, you know, we tend to talk about all the insider things, all the things that are going on, or all the stories we've heard, or what's happening with such and such a candidate, and you as a newcomer might just sort of feel like you're a little bit outside the process, and maybe these people are all deeply engaged. And I want newcomers to understand that the most important thing is that they are there and that they have made the commitment for a few hours, or a couple of hours, or maybe three, to be with their neighbors. And it's really important to not give up, to make yourself known and ask questions. If you are confused by the process, the first thing you should do is raise your hand and say, can I ask a question? I need to understand a little better how this works. One of the things that's the beauty of the caucuses is each precinct kind of makes their own way. They make their own rules. They have to vote on the rules and kind of decide how are we going to conduct our elections, or how much time are we going to give a candidate to speak if they happen to stop by. All of those things are decided by the caucus itself. We have a sample set of rules, but each caucus can decide kind of how they want to do things and what feels best to all of them. And so as a result, you get to ask questions, you get to have input, it's usually not as scary as it may seem. And I've worked really hard in training all of our caucus leaders and unit leaders all over the state. We've trained over 350 people in the last month and a half on how to conduct their caucuses. And we said greeting newcomers and not talking to one another, just insiders talking to each other, but really talking to the new people who've come is our number one core purpose of having precinct caucuses. So If you don't feel that people are talking to you, by all means, please go up to them and introduce yourself. And I'm encouraging all the people who are old timers to really look for the newcomers and make them feel like it was worth their coming, and so they can get involved. Because it's real easy to feel like this whole thing is happening and I don't understand. So we want everybody to feel comfortable with the whole process.
I mean, that is really what the parties need to do to continue to survive, is they need to bring in new people. And this is not just about going and voting for somebody or being a delegate. I believe the parties really hope that you're going to continue to be involved in the campaigns, in the party business, because the people who show up are the party, and this is their chance to really shape the direction of things.
And the one thing about party politics in general is there's three different reasons why people come and get involved. One is because they're supporting a particular candidate and they want to be involved in that campaign. Another is because an issue has driven them there. They're really on fire about making something happen and maybe making a resolution into a platform plank and pushing that forward. Then there are other people like me who really like building the foundational structure underneath all of this, that in order to have all those things work well, you need a really strong local party unit as well. And so everybody comes for a different purpose, and helping find out why somebody is there, what they're interested in, what they can contribute is really an important part of caucuses. And so getting those conversations going, making friends, I always tell people, make friends first. You can always, you know, if you make friends with somebody, you can get them to clean out your garage, for heaven's sake. So it should be easy enough to be able to get them to door knock or make a few phone calls or put some literature in doors or bring some food to a fundraiser. So just make friends first, and then you've got half the job done right there.
You know, a lot of people I've talked to, politics has kind of become this for them. I don't like it because everybody hates everybody, and I don't want to go where people are going to be screaming at each other. That's not what a caucus is like, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. It shouldn't be. It's not really about the campaigns. The campaigns like to be the focus of it, but it's not really what it's about. We're really trying to organize the party. And so the party will support what's happening with the endorsed candidates eventually, but this is really about building the party itself. And so arguing about candidates or getting into anything like that is really counterproductive in a way, because the ultimate goal is that we will all unite behind an endorsed candidate and go forward for the general election. So really trying to keep people on even footing and accept that maybe they support somebody different than you do, that's fine. There's no problem with that. We've got six outstanding candidates for governor. It's pretty hard to be unhappy about any of them, I think, at this stage. And so I'm hoping that the good feelings will continue. One of the things that's so important this year, which really started in 2016, of course, with the frustration about the result of the election, is that a lot of grassroots organizations have sprung up and are very active in protest and in contacting electeds, you know, especially in Washington, and making their voices heard in that regard. And at the same time, they're asking, okay, what next? What next? Now what do we do? And the continuing protest and accountability actions that these grassroots groups are doing is vitally important. But that's not really what the party does. The party does other things. We put together our systems and organizations and foundational activities to support our candidates, and we hold caucuses and we hold conventions and we do all of that kind of work. So we need a lot of these new people who have been energized by protest and resistance and so on to feel that there is a place for them in the party as well. And we're not trying to co-opt any of the actions that they are taking on their own with their own organizations. We just see these things as quite good collaborative efforts. And people who want to be to take some of their energy and put it towards a campaign or towards other things, we are welcoming them with open arms at our caucuses tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the second kind of person I've run into, is just, I am so mad at fill in the blank, but the blank is usually Donald Trump. I want to do something. Now, Donald Trump in the presidential election is not on this caucus, but there's right. Talk to me about the definite connection between showing up tonight and dealing with Donald Trump in the future.
Well, I think one of the beauties of the last year has been the number of local elections that have been won by Democrats, especially in seats that were held by Republicans. If you look at the state Senate seats and all kinds of local elections, if you look at Virginia as an example, they virtually have turned their legislative body over from red to blue in one election. And we can do the exact same thing here. And if we do, just by turning the House this year, that is a message that is loud and clear to what's going on in Washington. And it would be unmistakable if we are able to do that. And the only way we can do that is by taking that energy, that frustration, that alarm that we feel about what's happening in Washington, and channeling that energy into our local House races. Because if we can win the House and all of our statewide, especially our governor, it's going to be vitally important to have the governor's seat again, then we have won a battle against what's happening in Washington. We did a T-shirt at the state fair last year that showed the state of Minnesota in blue, surrounded by all the other states around us that were red, and we said, "Don't blame us." Well, we'd like to be able to say that again. We'd like to be able to say, "Hey, you know, here we are. We're still blue. Whatever you're doing out there, we're going to stay blue here in Minnesota. You're not going to win here." And I think that it's a great way to channel any of your frustration. Start out at caucuses tonight.
We're talking with Vicki Wright, the DFL's Training and Party Affairs Director. Vicki, we have just a couple seconds, but if people, we start here in about 2 hours with caucuses, they want just maybe some resources to turn to, and where the heck do they go? Where's a good place to look that up?
Sure. Right on our homepage, on our website, which is real easy, dfl.org, you will see, find your precinct caucuses. There's a big blue banner there. You click on that. You type in your home address, and it will tell you exactly where your precinct caucus is. No matter where you live in the state of Minnesota, the caucus finder is there for you. Registration begins at 6:30. Caucuses convene at 7. You can register at any time. If you get there a little late, that's no problem. You can keep registering. You can get your preference ballot and vote. And hopefully you will, after you put your ballot in the box, you'll come into the caucus room and have a seat, get to know the people you're sitting next to, and find out a little bit more about the DFL. I'm really hoping you will be there tonight. It'll be definitely worth your while, I promise.
All right. There's a promise. I think that will be kept. Vicki Wright, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Mike.
We're going to take a break, folks. But when we come back, we will talk about Donald Trump and what he had to say today and what it means. We'll be back in a minute. Even your emotions have an echo. AM 950's annual get-together for like-minded progressives is back. Hi, it's Mike McEntee, and the Blue State Ball is March 10th at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. I will be there and look forward to talking with you, along with Tom Hartman, Norman Goldman, and of course our own Matt McNeil. Plus, expect lots of big-name political guests and candidates. VIP and general admission tickets are on sale now at am950radio.com. Join me, Matt, Norman, and Tom March 10th at the Blue State Ball.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that Better Energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
I'm Jeff Erdman, and I'm running for the DFL endorsement for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District to unseat Jason Lewis and provide people a real, working-class voice in Washington. I grew up in a union home in Lewiston, Minnesota. My dad worked in a flour mill, and my mom provided daycare. My wife Ruth and I have raised 3 kids in Dakota County. I've been an American government teacher and head football coach for 28 years, with the last 18 years being at Rosemont High School. Ruth works as a speech therapist in schools. We've dedicated our lives to local families, and now I'm running to serve them. Here's what I believe. Healthcare is a human right. I'm the only candidate pushing for a single-payer Medicare-for-all system. I'm also the only candidate who opposes drilling, and I have aggressive plans for localizing green jobs and creating wealth in our local economies. It's time for real political reform to take money out of politics. Learn more and see how to caucus February 6th at erdmanforcongress.com. I'm Jeff Erdman, and it's time for change.
Paid for by Urban for Congress.
Welcome back to the Mike McEntee Show here on AM 950, 952-946-6205. If you had any last-second shout-outs before you head out to the caucuses, 6:30, get over there. 7 o'clock, things begin. Be sure to do your civic duty tonight, no matter which party you're in. Donald Trump today said that he supports a government shutdown if Democrats won't agree to tighten immigration laws. It's undercutting the ongoing bipartisan negotiations on Capitol Hill. He was pretty adamant about what he meant.
If we don't change it, let's have a shutdown. We'll do a shutdown, and it's worth it for our country. I'd love to see a shutdown if we don't get this stuff taken care of.
Now, the government will run out of funding Thursday if negotiators can't strike a deal. The president's remarks came at the same time Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer in separate news conferences were touting on how much progress they are making. This is not happening. Trump oversaw a multi-day government shutdown last month over immigration reform, though Trump opposes that government shutdown. He has previously said that the United States could use a government work stoppage. Quote, our country needs a good shutdown in September to fix a mess, he tweeted in May. Now, you may have heard about this. Yesterday, Trump suggested that Democrats in Congress had committed treason because they didn't stand up and clap more often during his State of the Union address. Really? Yeah, that's where we are. Now, the White House has been saying, oh, well, he was joking. He was joking. That's not how we move things along. And Congressman Tim Walz, by the way, who's running for governor, tweeted out saying, I didn't serve 24 years in the uniform of this country to be called treasonous for simply disagreeing with your disastrous policies, Mr. President. Yes, he was respectful. Go out and make a choice tonight, Governor, U.S. Senate, your legislature. Be heard. We'll be back here and compare notes tomorrow. See you then.
This is Dan Brooks, Senior Vice President and Financial.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. Okay.